Jenkins 2.0 has just gone GA, so the server side got in touch with our Tyler Croy, a Jenkins community leader, to tell us what's new with Jenkins and why should we upgrade to Jenkins 2.0.
The first one was what's new. The big thing that's new, I'd say the two big important things that are new, and there's a lot that's there, but the two sort of pillars that I think about and I focus on, there's the getting started experience, the getting started out-of-the-box experience that we have now for new users, which is, you know, a fairly big departure from what Jenkins has had in the past. When Jenkins first started out, there wasn't a lot of stuff in the software industry that there is today. Now we've got north of 1,000 plugins that are available for Jenkins. And Jenkins has always been super easy to get started with. If you've got the Java runtime locally, you can run a Jenkins instance, as I'm sure you're aware. But, you know, people would download the Jenkins.war and they'd run it locally, and they'd get presented with a somewhat blank screen, the black bar across the top, and then a little prompt to say, create a job. And for new users that don't know much about Jenkins or don't know what they don't know, this left a fairly empty experience for them, and they had to really go try to hunt for plugins and patterns to be successful with Jenkins. So with 2.0, there's this getting started wizard that gets you going out of the box, and it does a couple of really important things. Our recently appointed or selected by the board security officer, a guy named Daniel Beck that I work with, he became the security officer late last year, pushed pretty strongly for enabling security out of the box and then getting started wizard for Jenkins 2, which was incorporated, which I'm really happy and excited about. So Jenkins is a lot more straightforward and defaults to a much more secure configuration, which helps new users spin it up on, you know, EC2 or Azure or Rackspace Cloud, what have you, and have a good secure out-of-the-box experience. But it also gives them the opportunity to install suggested plugins. So instead of going the route of, you know, we're going to bundle a bunch of plugins like the Git plugin and the Mercurial plugin, which for some segment of the Jenkins user base is too prescriptive. A lot of people choose Jenkins because it's so flexible, they can tailor it to whatever they want to tailor it for. So we give the users a choice to say, you can either have the selected or the suggested plugins, and you'll get a lot of things that the community at large thinks are important to have to be successful with a new Jenkins installation, like the pipeline plugin, GitHub plugins, things like that. Or you can say, no, I want to be a master of my own destiny. I'm going to go pick whatever plugins I want, and you can't tell me what to do. And then that user could go down that route. And all of this has been sort of packaged up into a three-step. It's pretty quick to get through. Getting started wizard. But the end result of that is a new user who doesn't otherwise know what they want from Jenkins has a lot of the tools already available and installed in their Jenkins installation to meet the 80% of use cases that people have that they're using Jenkins for. So that's the one big pillar that's important to me.
Now, the default Jenkins WAR file that we originally downloaded didn't have security enabled, and that certainly made getting started with the tool a little bit easier. When you say that you've enabled security by default, what does that mean? Obviously, you don't have a directory configured or anything like that. So is it just basic username password authentication? And what's more, does that complicate the process of getting started with Jenkins 2.0?
It definitely means that we set up authentication out of the box. If you don't set up authentication with a Jenkins service, especially if you are running it on a public cloud, that can be very dangerous. Jenkins has a specific look as far as an API profile that makes them easy to discover for attackers scanning EC2 subnets or Azure subnets and things like that. So setting it up with authentication out of the box makes it a lot easier for public cloud users and people using Jenkins on a global network to be secure. But it also changes some of the defaults.
With security such a major concern, especially in the cloud, why has it taken so long for the Jenkins community to make the switch to turning security on by default?
In the history of Jenkins, we've kept certain defaults the way they have been due to an almost fervent desire to keep backwards compatibility with previous versions. So as we added new security mechanisms, in order to not break backwards compatibility with previous releases, they've been defaulted to off. And some of that's like, if I'm remembering correctly, some master agents security enhancements, some CSRF security enhancements, and there's a couple other minor ones that help prevent against cross-site scripting attacks and things like that. But because we were so concerned about breaking previous people's installations, we didn't want them to be enabled by default, which is not good from a security standpoint. And in the past 12 months, we've become a lot more serious about security, like I mentioned, Daniel being appointed the security officer. That for 2.0, we said this is a great time to make this change, that not only are we going to encourage new users to set up authentication by default out of the box, which does a huge makes a huge difference from the get-go, but all of these things that we've added to help protect Jenkins users, we're going to default those to on if you're just getting started with Jenkins. Now, to preserve that backwards compatibility, if you're an upgraded user, it doesn't switch those on and break things for you. But we've been really adamant over the past few months about, hey, if you're not doing this, you really should do this. Please, 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 don't be silly. Really, really update these things. But for new users, we want them to have all of the secure defaults enabled. And that's really what I mean by enabling security out of the box.
So how complex is the upgrade from a previous version of Jenkins to Jenkins 2.0?
It is, in essence, just like another normal upgrade. There's no major, there's no data migration that has to happen. There's no, in that you don't have to go worry about the some settings being changed or needing to update configurations. In fact, if you go to the Jenkins site, there's no sort of major backwards incompatible changes that are going there. It's a lot of great new things like the getting started experience and then pipeline as code layered on top of Jenkins. We didn't go out and rip things out that people were depending on or anything like that. So, to be honest, there's not really much of a reason not to upgrade. If you're using the LTS line later this year, the next LTS is going to be based on the 2.0 branch. If you're using the weekly releases, going from 1.6.5.6 to 2.0 is no problem whatsoever.
And what is all the talk about pipeline as code with Jenkins 2.0?
One of the things that we brought front and center in Jenkins 2 is the pipeline as code concept, which if you've played with this support previously, it was available as a plugin referred to as Workflow, which Claudius talked about a bit last year. But pipeline as code is really that support and those concepts brought sort of center stage in the Jenkins 2.0 experience. They're in the suggested plugin list for new users. We suggest to existing users when they upgrade that they add pipeline, because really you can do a lot with Jenkins, and people like myself have built and implemented continuous delivery pipelines with Jenkins, but it was always sort of cobbled together with the building blocks that were available in Jenkins at the time. And pipeline as code brings the notion that concept of a delivery pipeline to the forefront as a sort of concrete type of data, concrete concept in Jenkins 2. And there's other things that go along with that are pretty exciting. Like, I can check a Jenkins file, which is the conventional file that would contain my pipeline definition, into source control. And because Jenkins is the Zen of Jenkins, is extensibility, there's plugins that can extend on top of that pipeline domain-specific language as well. So one of the things that I do fairly often with the pipeline support in Jenkins 2 is define Docker continuous deployment, continuous delivery pipelines. So in one place in my Docker container repository, I'll have the source code, I'll have my Docker file, and then I'll have my Jenkins file. And then using the Docker pipeline plugin, which builds on top of the existing pipeline support, I can build and publish my container straight to Docker Hub from Jenkins. And I actually put it in a tweet earlier. I fit it in a tweet pretty easily. instead of going through a configuration page and checking a lot of boxes, you can very concisely model and express what your delivery pipeline looks like in this Groovy-based DSL, which is pretty exciting to me.
So with enhanced security, simple setup, pipeline as code, along with a fairly simple upgrade path, there really is no reason not to upgrade to Jenkins 2.0. So if you want to find out more, just head over to the Jenkins site, jenkins.io/2.0.